the bell, soccer. This is Movie Fighters, the show where Chris Sims,
hello,
and Matt Wilson, that's me, we watch movies and we beat them up. We're doing a special CarCast episode of the show this week. Chris and I are in beautiful Spartanburg, South Carolina, to watch Dracula Untold. We're at the movie theater. We're at the Spartan 16 theater.
We're at a movie theater that looks like an IKEA. This is one of the weirdest buildings I've ever seen. This is also the first time Matt and I have done Movie Fighters together.
That's right.
We are sitting next to each other. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's going to be super weird when we get inside the movie theater and start watching the movie. It's the first time we've also watched a brand new movie.
Yeah, this is, we were trying to decide what movie we were going to do. And we talked about a bunch of different stuff. We talked about Phantasm, which would have been like a treat for us. We talked about some other horror movies. And then we realized, oh no, wait, there's a new Dracula movie coming out on the day we would need to record this show that looks terrible.
Yeah.
That has the worst trailers. And so we decided, oh, well, let's drive to a nearby city. Let's drive to the halfway point between our two houses. Go see an actual movie in the theater for a special live exhibition Movie Fighters.
All I know about Dracula Untold is what I've seen in the trailers.
Yeah, I don't even know who's in it.
It's a lot of actors I've never seen before. And this movie is basically Dracula's superhero origin story, but with all the Vlad Tepes, you know, war stuff. So it's Vlad Tepes in the war trying to protect his family and taking on vampire Dracula powers, which give him the ability to turn into a swarm of bats that can then punch soldiers as a giant fist.
I have a lot of questions about this. Now, I had heard that they were doing this. From what I understand, this is the first movie in a planned and put the biggest quotes around this as you possibly can. The Avengers-style Universal Monsters reboot.
Correct.
So we're going to get a Dracula movie.
Frankenstein. I assume Creature from the Black Lagoon.
The Mummy. Like, I feel like the Mummy is the Hulk of this, because you had Mummy reboot.
You already had a Mummy reboot, yeah.
One successful movie, and then two that literally everybody in the world, including people who liked the Mummy, were like, nah, it's good. It's fine. We don't need them. Matt and I were talking when we had lunch. This is the 8th Dracula movie I have watched this month. It is October 10th. I love Dracula. I love Dracula movies. You want me to run them down real quick?
Let's have the list.
Okay. Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula. The Horror of Dracula. Dracula, Prince of Darkness. Dracula Has Risen from the Grave. Obviously.
Of course.
Taste the Blood of Dracula. Dracula 1972 AD. Dracula 3000, and now Dracula Untold. So, I like Dracula movies. I like Dracula movies a lot. And I'm a guy, like, if you know me, you know that I am very pro the idea of Dracula as a protagonist. The thing is, I don't think you can go back and do all the violently murderous anti-Muslim crusader stuff, and then go, oh, but he's also a superhero.
And the big thing is, he's a guy who loves his family. It's like, he's doing all this for his family. And to staple that onto Dracula seems so weird.
To nail that hat to his head, much like Vlad III nailed the hats to the heads of the members of his court when they would not remove them in his presence.
What happens to Dracula when he shows up in London, however many hundred years later? Like, his family's gotta all be dead by then. Like, is he just sad all the time after that?
Well, I mean, he kind of is sad all the time. Yeah. That's why he goes to London.
Is he the Highlander?
If you read that book.
Is he the Highlander now?
No, like I am 90% sure that there's no Vlad the IV.
Yeah.
Vlad the III, Dracula, you know, son of Vlad Dracul. That's what Dracula means. He was in the Order of the Dragon. His father was in the Order of the Dragon, so he was the son of the dragon. I don't think he had a fit. Like, I don't think. So I feel like we're getting Dracula's family that we're about to go watch die to motivate a monster.
Yeah.
And I think the thing...
The other thing is, this is making him into the God of War guy. What's the name of the...
Kratos.
It's making it into him, making him into that.
Yeah. All that said, I kind of want to like this movie. And I kind of... This is the movie that we have done where I'm going into it, where I am willing to give them what they need for this premise to work. Like, because I like the idea of... Yeah, I mean, if you haven't heard about it, and honestly, I haven't gone and read anything about it. I haven't sought anything out, but neither have I. The idea behind it is that it's supposed to be, you get all the universal monsters, you get, you know, Dracula, Frankenstein, all those guys, and then they're gonna team up and form the fucking Monster Squad, I guess. I hope to God they call it the Monster Squad, because that would be amazing.
What if they bring in a comedy duo that is the new
Abbott and Costello? Oh, who would it be? Would it be like Kevin James and Kevin Hart?
I think it's going to be like Seth Rogen and James Franco.
That would be amazing. Neither one of those guys is fat, though. Well, I mean, Seth Rogen, you know, slimmed down.
Used to be. Yeah.
What if James Franco gets really fat?
Oh, Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill.
Oh, that would be good. That would actually be, like, if 23 Jump Street is Universal Monsters 4, oh, that would be really
good. I think we're creating a scenario that is way beyond what it's going to be.
But no, like, the idea is that they're going to fight Cthulhu. So you have all these monsters, and then they're going to, like, they have to team up because there's the one thing that's worse than them.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting premise. Like, that's a Marvel Comics as hell premise, you know?
Very
that's
Marvel
that's
Comics.
Legion of Monsters. Yeah. So if you're gonna do that, that's good. The problem is that I think the appeal of that is that you're seeing the bad guys fight the worst guy. And I think what we're gonna get is but Dracula was a good guy. I mean, yes, he had thousands of people impaled.
Well, it's easy to make Frankenstein a sympathetic character.
Frankenstein's a good guy. You can make the Wolfman a good guy easily.
Yeah.
But Dracula, you kind of have to address that he is a bad guy Jump Street.
Okay, so we watched Monster Squad last year.
Right.
And it, like, went out of its way to try to soften every monster character. But even in that movie, Dracula had to be, like, the guy who just had nefarious ends from the get-go.
Dracula calls a 5-year-old girl the B-word in that movie. A 5-year-old! I feel like Dracula is a character that you can make him a protagonist. And again, I'm kind of speaking from experience here, but you can't ignore that he is a predatory monster in the process.
And racist.
And super racist!
Yeah.
Our friends Andrew Isla and JoJo Seams actually saw this movie midnight on Thursday, so they saw an opening night screening of Dracula the Untold, and I was up late writing and watching Halloween Havoc 91, because that's the Chris Sims lifestyle. So I was awake when Andrew got home and started tweeting about this movie. And when we come back after watching it, I'm going to read some of his tweets. I'm going to look them up on my phone and read them. Because I get the feeling we're not going to enjoy this as much as I want to go in there and have a Dracula superhero movie.
Okay, so when we were eating lunch, we talked about the two case scenarios that we can envision for this. One is that it will be... Neither scenario involves this movie being good. I don't think we have any expectations this movie's going to be out-and-out good. But it could be enjoyably crazy bad. Like, just tons of bat fists punching everything.
Yeah, if it's like best-case scenario is basically Bayonetta with a dude.
Yeah, exactly. Just, like, non-stop action craziness. Like, him turning into swarms of bats and doing crazy shit. Because we haven't seen, like, Dracula bat stuff in a while in, a popular culture thing that I can think of.
I don't think we've ever seen a good, or at least decent, big-budget Dracula action movie.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, what was the closest we could get? Like, Van Helsing?
Probably.
Starring Wolverine?
Yeah.
Which, you know, Dracula isn't even really in that, and that movie sucks.
Like, a lot of the Dracula pop culture stuff, or I guess vampire pop culture stuff, we've seen in the past decade or so, when vampires have been super popular, have left bats out of the mythology. So this, like, tries to bring bats roaring back, right?
Yeah.
So I'm expecting some crazy stuff to happen to that. The other case scenario, though, is that this movie is super boring.
That's the one I'm really worried about.
I'm so worried this movie's going to be boring.
Because we've talked about it before. That's the worst thing a movie can do.
It is the worst thing a movie can do. So, I think we've introduced it enough. We can't really get into cast or filmmakers or anything because I don't know anything going in.
Yeah, we're not on our computer, so we don't have our usual Wikipedia trivia section
that's right.
in front of us.
So we're just
and this movie's fucking brand new.
It's brand new, so we're going in cold. This car is getting hot because it's 85 degrees in South Carolina.
It's a beautiful, sunny day to go get in a Halloween mood and see a vampire movie.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to come back. You're going to hear a musical interlude. We're going to come back. You just heard some rustling because I'm moving my phone around in my car.
Michael Kill, new album.
Michael Kill is going to play us out. Go pick up his new album. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about this movie. It may not happen in my car because it is hot out here. But we will be right back. All right, we are back from watching Dracula Untold, where we've decided not to do the second half of the show as a car cast. We are at Starbucks.
It's a coffee cast.
It's a coffee cast.
And it is sunset.
It's a Bucks cast.
Which I think is very appropriate.
We went to Starbucks. We got some coffee to keep us energized during this part of the show. We were surprised to discover that Dracula Untold was only 92 minutes long. Because we thought it was going to be like 2 hours plus.
And it's a lean 90 minutes. there is no wasted celluloid in this flick.
There is not a lot of meat on that bone.
There was a point where I was like, I could like this movie. Okay. It has done some things I disagree with, morally. But it is certainly no worse than the Jason Momoa Conan movie, which I actually did enjoy.
I see a lot of similarities between this and that Conan movie.
Yeah.
That's my whole statement.
No, there are. And then the movie takes a turn, and then it almost comes back. So I can't decide. It's not a matter of, did I love this movie or did I hate it? It's a matter of, did I dislike this movie or did I hate it? Like, is this movie mediocre or is there going to be a process as we are talking right now where I am going to get madder and madder and madder and end up hating this movie?
Okay, let's talk about this because this is an experience we have not had in a movie fighters setting.
Right.
Where we've been in a theater and people in the theater were reacting. Like, it wasn't just us watching the movie. There were
people
in the theater.
Right, it wasn't me sitting alone in my office and you sitting alone in your office.
There were people in the theater reacting to the movie. And there were two very vocal people, a woman sitting next to me and a guy sitting behind both of us, who were reacting very positively and rooting for Dracula a ton.
Which is a new experience for a Dracula movie. That you can hear someone, like, Dracula can go kill somebody and somebody's like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's good. He got it.
The way that Dracula is presented in this movie is so weird because he's not specifically a hero. And there's a moment at the end that proves it.
Well, I figured it out. It's a Western. He's the old gunfighter and his old partner is coming back.
Yeah. Well,
to do some gunfighting.
Well, I don't even know that it's... He's not a hero. I don't even know that he's necessarily an anti-hero, even though he verges into that territory. He's a tweener.
He is. He is. He is a Yuji Nagata.
He has noble goals, but he doesn't really care about anything but his family. Like that thing we talked about at the beginning where it's like he's going to do stuff for his family.
And to its credit, the movie tried to address the problem that I had, which is that Dracula is a great villain and maybe not such a great hero. But the movie does go out of its way to present Dracula as, you know, the things he has done were done by necessity, and he did not, like, he is not recreationally impaling people like the historical Vlad the Third. By the way, I was wrong. There was a Vlad the Fourth. We looked that up while we were waiting for coffee.
That's right.
But I don't think they do it well enough. They don't sell it, and also they do it in a way that is, I'm going to say, borderline racist. I'm going to be charitable.
Yeah, but I think it, the way that the Turks are presented in this movie, weirdly enough, this movie reminded me, we talked about how it's close to Conan. I think it...
Can I guess?
Guess away.
300?
Yes.
Yep.
The way that the Turks are presented is exactly the way that the Persians are presented in 300.
Yeah, and it's very uncomfortable.
Because they're the brown people.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but they are... I mean, we'll get to it in a second when we start talking about the plot. They are coded as gay. Like, it is undeniable. Because there is a very pretty man, like, when they come into the Great Hall.
There are no Turkish women.
There are no Turkish women, and they're always talking about how they want all the boys. And there's a very pretty guy with his hair all done up who's, like, stroking the face of a kid who is recoiling in fear. And then you see Mehmet II, and he's wearing eyeliner. And looks like...
Heavy eyeliner.
Heavy eyeliner. And looks like he stepped out of a fucking GQ catalog. Like, he's got... He has a modern haircut to a hilarious extent.
There are several guys in this movie who look way too modern. Just, like, modern dudes in old clothes.
Yeah, yeah. But, like... You can't have that haircut without electricity. Like, Mehmet II has a, like, buzzed, like, he has my haircut. He's got it buzzed on the side and long on top.
He's got, like, mousse in his hair.
He really does. So there, and there's a, like, we were brothers, but you left. And then, like, yeah. Well, they're having coffee together.
Yeah.
Because, you know, two dudes are sitting outside having coffee together. You know what that means. We're sitting outside having coffee together right now. That's the joke.
Ah, I just took a sip of a vanilla iced latte.
Yeah, so there's, and it's weird, because they're clearly, you know, the problem I've had with superhero movies is that they write them like action movies. Like,
yeah.
Iron Man is written as an action movie. It's not till, like, I would say, like, even Captain America 2 that they start thinking of them as superhero stories instead of action movies. Like...
First Thor,
maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. But, speak of, we got to talk about those trailers before we talk about this movie. But this is written...
Are you talking about Hacker Thor?
Yes! but this movie is written as a... As... It's two steps removed from a superhero movie, so it's a weird action movie, but it's a weird supernatural action superhero movie. It's like if this movie would have come out in 1983, like you'd have been like, oh, right, because they're the Arabs that are the bad guys. You know, they're the Muslim Turks. Now, and again, historically, if you look at Vlad III's enemies, they were the Muslim Turks. Historically... Vlad III did not turn into a cloud of bats and fight an army by himself. Do you want to start with the trailers?
We can start with the trailers. Okay. The only trailer I thoroughly remember is Hacker Thor.
Black Hat. There were like 20 trailers to this movie.
It's a Michael Mann movie. Which makes it even weirder, but it's about like, it's like all other hacker movies, it displays a basic misunderstanding of how hacking works. Just in that trailer, there's a basic misunderstanding of how hacking works. There's a guy who hacks a nuclear plant into exploding.
but not like melting down.
No,
just exploding.
The cooling tower explodes.
The best part is like when it's like, he's a hacker serving 15 years for hacking.
Yeah.
He's from MIT. And then they show fucking Chris Hemsworth doing handstand push-ups in a prison cell.
And then, by the end of the trailer, he has a gun. Why would they give him a gun?
And I think the logic here is that, like, oh, if you're a hacker and you can't touch a computer for 15 years, you know, you're not gonna have a computer, you're gonna work out. Then why would they get, like, if you haven't touched a computer for 15 years, your hacking skills are out of date, bro.
Yeah. I hope that there's a scene early in the movie, or somewhere in the movie, where there's a flashback to a skinny dude.
Skinny.
Who gets arrested. That's Chris Hemsworth.
I hope there's a scene where Chris Hemsworth's like, we need to get online. Who's got an AOL disc? There were 26 trailers. All of them looked terrible. All of them had February release dates.
Except for The Interview and the next Hobbit movie, which are both Christmas.
There's one that has Jeff Bridges in it that I
that movie's been on the shelf for a while. I remember seeing that trailer like a year ago. And it's
been on the shelf since
released.
Before True Grit, because the way he talks in that trailer is like he's workshopping his Rooster Cogburn.
You're right. Okay, so that's our trailer interlude. Let's start in with Dracula Untold. The movie starts with a very stylish info dump about Vlad the Impaler's background.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like the look of it?
I didn't, because it looks like a camera moving through a diorama.
As a way of like showing a flashback, it was a little neat and a little stylish.
Well, it reminded me of Jonah Hex, because Jonah Hex has Jonah Hex has the same thing, but it's all Eduardo Risso art. So it looks amazing, and it's the last good thing that happens in Jonah Hex. But this is just a camera moving through, like...
This is just, like, 2D pictures of soldiers.
But it's
soldiers.
Not like it's moving through, like, you see a kid being pulled away by a Turkish soldier,
okay,
and
so
the camera
that,
goes
so there's,
behind him.
Okay, the way, what's being told to us is that the Turks came to Transylvania.
This movie's not going to do well in Turkey, I don't think.
You're right. The Turks came to Transylvania and demanded 1,000 boys to be soldiers.
Yes.
And they were both beaten severely and trained to be soldiers. So as we're being told both of these things, we see a kid getting beaten, whipped with a whip.
Right.
And then the camera pans over to another kid who is fighting that kid who is being whipped.
Seems unfair.
With a sword.
Seems unfair. What we find out is that Dracula, Vlad was one of the 1,000 kids.
We're in a parking lot, everybody, so any car sounds you hear, that's why.
Dracula was one of the 1,000 kids that was taken, but he was so good at being a soldier that they let him go? I don't understand that part of it, because we see Dracula, and it's like, yeah, he would literally pick up logs and impale people with them and plant them in the ground.
Yeah.
Like a Guilty Gear character. And whole armies would run from him. And I'm like, well, if they had that guy, why did they let him go? Because as far as we know, he just goes, hey, can I go back to Transylvania now? And they go, that's fine. You're going to be a client state of Transylvania. By the way, I talked about messing up that there was a Vlad the Fourth. If you know anything about the history at all, the history of the Ottoman Turks, the history of Vlad the Third, don't worry. None of that is relevant to anything that happens.
Yeah. Somehow Dracula gets let go and is sent back to Transylvania to be the prince.
Right.
And building into that, we see a shot of a bunch of impaled people as if to say, like, oh, here's the stuff he did. And in that shot, he's maybe like, he's got to be in his 20s. He's an adult.
Yeah.
So here's, okay, we're going to dig into the timeline thing here. Apparently, Vlad is already immortal because he got taken as when he was 12. We're told that.
Okay.
He got taken when he was 12.
12.
He has been back in Transylvania for 20 years because...
Did they say 20 years?
They said 20 years. I may have misheard that, but that is what I believe they said.
No, they say 10 years because at his birthday, at the Easter party, they say 10 years of peace and prosperity, here's to 20 more.
Okay.
That's
so
what they say.
That's what messed me up.
Which is a weird
up.
Thing to say, that they would say, it's been 10, here's to 20. And not like, it's been 10, here's to many more.
Okay, that's what messed me up, because they said 20 more.
It's been 10 years, because his son is 10.
Because his wife tells him, his wife, whose name is mentioned maybe twice.
Yeah, we didn't catch the names. We just walked out of this movie. I don't know the name of the wife and son. Or anyone who's not Dracula or Mehmet II.
Yeah.
Anyone who is not a historical figure, no idea.
Well, here's the reason for that. Everyone who is not Dracula is a plot device.
Yes.
Every character who is not Dracula is a plot device.
Complete and total.
Including the wife. Like, she...
Mrs. Dracula.
Mrs. Dracula. But she says in a scene... Now, it's being 10 years makes it... I can put it together now. He's 32. I thought he was 52. Because his wife tells him he's been back as long as he was gone.
Okay, yeah, that makes
sense. So if he got taken when he was 12, then he was gone for 10 years. They let him go when he was 22?
Yeah, because I guess he ran out of people to kill?
I guess
Dracula at age 22 killed so many people that they were just like, yeah, we don't need you anymore. We're good.
So he comes back, they send him back at 22, and now he's 32. He's got one son, and he's married. So there's a few scenes of, like, happy family life in Castle Dracula in Transylvania.
In Castlevania,
where, you know, he's, like, pulling his wife into the bath with him.
Oh, can we talk about Mrs. Dracula and how she looks like she's maybe 17? She's
very young looking.
She looks, when he comes in and, like, the Mrs. Dracula and Alucard are playing, I thought they were his two kids.
She does not look like she could have had a kid.
There's no way in hell she had a kid 10 years
who
ago.
Who was a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even in 15th century times.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't even look 23.
Right.
Till the end of the movie.
I mean, we can look up how old that actress is, but she looks very young.
Yeah, she looks super young. Distractingly so.
There's a scene where... I think I think that actress was only cast because of her long neck.
She does have a long neck. She's very pretty.
She has a very long neck. There's we'll get to the scene where, like, her neck is distractingly long in a little while. Before the scenes of family togetherness, though, there's the opening scene that after the info dump.
They find a Turkish helmet in the river.
Dracula and his soldiers are standing by the river. They find a Turk scout's helmet in the river. And they're saying, okay, the Turks are here. They've invaded. That's a sign of, you know, war against our country. What are we going to do? And before they even really get to anything, it's like, oh, wait, this floated down the river from that huge mountain over there.
From Death Mountain from the Zelda games?
From the Aggro Crag.
That's exactly what it is. What do they call it? They call it the Devil's Tooth or something?
It's like Hound's Tooth Mountain, I think.
No, it's the... Because it's way more...
It's got it's, tooth in the name, I know that.
It's the first thing I look, but it's like Demon's Tooth or Black Tooth
It
or
may
something.
Be Black Tooth.
Yeah.
But they like, go up to the mountain to investigate.
You're not going
to
guess what's in this mountain. Not in a million years are you going to guess what's in this mountain.
They go up to the mountain to investigate. They find a cave. They're like... The Turks have to be in this cave. They're like, I don't know. A bunch of bats come flying out of the cave. Dracula's like, they're in there.
Yeah, something's in there disturbing all these bats.
Because bats don't come out during the day.
That is true. That is a fact.
He is correct about that.
Dracula has made a study of ornithology.
So they go inside the cave to try to find the Turks that are apparently holed up in there.
Yeah.
What they find instead is a bunch of dead bodies, skeletons, ground up bones, other stuff. Guess what's in this cave, everybody? It's a bear. No. It's a vampire.
What?
It's Charles Dance, a.k.a. Tywin Lannister from Game of Thrones, in a heavy, heavy vampire makeup, seeing them with his Assassin's Creed eagle vision.
I'm going to go ahead and say the blood vision... Probably the worst part of this movie.
It's Assassin's
Creed. Aside from the racism.
It's Eagle Vision.
It's exactly Eagle Vision.
There's a lot of Assassin's Creed in this movie.
I leaned over to you at one point and I was like, this is some Assassin's Creed shit. It's almost charmingly video gamey because there is a sequence where Dracula is trying to go out in the daytime and he's like, oh, I can't go into the light sections of the floor.
Yep.
I gotta stay in the shadows. And it's like, it's so Assassin's Creed in a way that, like, again, charming up to a point.
It alternates between Assassin's Creed and Dynasty Warriors.
Yes. Which sounds awesome.
It's, yeah.
Which, guys, that is literally all I wanted out of this movie.
So, inside the cave, two of Dracula's soldiers get killed immediately by the vampire. Dracula gets knocked down, but then he's, like, pushed into the sunlight just at the edge of the cave. And is in the sunlight, and the sun's reflecting off his sword, and the vampire kind of goes, kind of like stands
back. Don't start none, won't be none.
Yeah, kind of stands back, kind of edges his way back into the cave, and Dracula leaves. So Dracula's like, what was up with that? So he goes to his scribe.
Oh, I forgot about
this. He goes to his scholar in Castle Dracula to ask about this thing. And this guy knows everything about it.
Well, because he's got the book from the Roman prophets.
That's right.
Who prophesied Dracula, I guess, happening?
Yeah.
Because he says, like, oh, they're going to attack this monastery. Which makes it dumb as hell later in the movie when Dracula's like, we got to go to that monastery and, and hole up.
First of all, it's super dumb for him to be like, I'm Dracula. I am now a devil creature. Let's go to a monastery.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, he doesn't think he's going to be a double creature at that point.
Permanently.
That's when the stupidest line in the entire movie happens, which is when the monk says, "It's a vampire." From the Greek, pie to drink?
Yeah.
Literally a line in the movie!
Like, for one thing, why do you need to tell him that?
Why do you need to tell him that? Why do you need to tell us that? Because all he needs to say is, yeah, it's a weird blood-drinking demon creature. It's called a vampire. Like, Dracula's not going to be like, that sounds wrong. What's the etymology on that?
Yeah.
Can you use that in a sentence?
And like, okay, Vlad is a... I mean, I guess he was in Turkey for a lot of his life. Mm-hmm. But Vlad is a prince. Like, odds are, at that time, he might have known Greek or been taught some Greek.
He is certainly likely the best educated person in this movie.
Yeah. So why does he need to be told that? It doesn't mean anything to us. It's just, this is just a screenwriter trying to prove he looked up where vampire comes
from. Which is so weird. Who cares?
Okay. So he finds out all about this vampire and he says, look, nobody in Transylvania can know about this. They're already too scared of the Turks, so I'm just going to keep it secret. So the next few scenes of, like, family bliss, he's just not telling anybody about the vampires. He's like, we got attacked by wolves.
Yeah, well, no, because his wife goes, what attacked you? Was it a wolf? And he goes, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, like, that's a bad lie. Me? That's a bad lie.
Okay, so after some familial bliss, there's a scene in the throne room.
Oh, no, on Easter. Because in case you missed the subtlety of this movie, the Turks attack on Easter Sunday, which is also explained. The wife goes, you can't take our son, you can't take Alucard riding tomorrow.
On a horse ride.
That's the day of our Lord's resurrection. That's Easter.
Yes. Like she has to...
Semicolon. There's a semicolon in her dialogue.
The writing in this script is mind-blowing.
So, folks, if you don't know what a vampire is and you've never heard of Easter Sunday...
This is the movie for you.
Get to the theater.
Yeah. I mean, this is a PG-13 film. We did walk into the theater with children. There were children in front of us.
Yeah.
Despite there being, gruesome impalings at the end of the movie and people melting...
But it's that Transformers movie...
But it's movie violence.
Yeah, it's that Transformers... It's that bullshit violence where, like, as long as you don't show any blood, it's fine, which is fucked up and bizarre that this is a largely bloodless Dracula movie.
The only times blood show up are when he drinks blood.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that is not, like, drinking it violently from somebody. Like, somebody will cut themselves...
Right.
And then, like, offer up their blood for him to drink.
Yeah.
Turks roll in on Easter Sunday. They say, hey, we're here to take our tribute. Oh, and also, where's that missing battalion of Turks?
Yeah, he goes, which I actually like that.
He does a Columbo on it.
Well, he does a Columbo later.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, I almost went over and said, he's doing a Columbo. I like that because they roll in early. They're not supposed to be there yet. They're coming in to get their protection money. And the emissary from the Turks goes, like, he's so pissed. And he goes, did you think we wouldn't notice that you killed a battalion? Dracula doesn't, like, beg off of it. He just goes, I didn't kill him.
Yeah.
Which, like, it sounds sketch as hell. Like,
this is the time to say, hey, look, there's a monster up on that mountain.
Or yeah, like, if Dracula would have just gone, hey, listen, I found a helmet, I went to investigate, there wasn't any sign of him in the mountains, I think there might be something up there, send all your dudes up into that mountain if you want. But, like, I do like that this movie has a... There's a reason for the division between Mehmet and Dracula.
Yeah.
Because, according to Mrs. Dracula, there was a time when they were like brothers.
Right.
Which, again, historically, not the case. But that doesn't matter.
He says, okay, we're here for our tribute, and I want to know what happened to that battalion. Dracula's like, I didn't kill him, I don't know. And he hands over a huge cache of silver.
Silver coins with his face on them.
And they go, okay, great, thanks for the tribute. And one more thing.
My wife, she wants to attack Vienna. she's always trying to attack Vienna, but she needs all you boys.
She's a big fan.
She's a big fan of attacking Vienna.
He goes, look, one more thing. We need 1,000 boys.
Yeah.
To be soldiers.
The
room erupts.
Which is weird, because it looks like there's about 30 people who live in Transylvania. Like, and even in the long shots, we see, like, a shot of Castle Dracula, and I actually like the way the shot is composed, because there's a big bridge leading to it. It's very Castlevania.
Very.
And but then there's, like, a little clutch of houses down in a valley underneath the bridge that leads to the castle. But there's only, like, six houses. There is, like... Where are they going to, like, well, we got one boy, and he's the prince, so yeah. I don't know what to tell
and
you.
And we never see the thousand boys get handed over. The only drama that ever happens is between, is over the prince. Mm-hmm. And Dracula kind of goes, like, I'm not handing over my kid. I'm not handing over my son. Yeah. So. But he his wife tells him, all right, why don't you just go talk to Mehmet?
You guys were friends.
You guys used to be like brothers. He should be able to show you some mercy, right? Yeah. So Dracula does just that thing. He goes and he sees Mehmet, and they have coffee, and it's tense. And he goes, look, I don't want to hand over my own son or the thousand boys. And Mehmet just goes, like, I don't need anything but soldiers. Like, Dracula offers him something else. And Mehmet just goes, the only thing I need is soldiers. And that is the end of that meeting.
Well, Dracula at one point says, look, if you need soldiers, take me. You know I'm worth a thousand untrained boys.
Yeah.
And at that point, based on what we've seen in the movie so far, like, that Dracula is this ultimate badass who with his own hands impaled, like, hundreds of people. It comes out later in the movie. He has impaled thousands of people.
Yeah.
And the way it is presented in the movie, it is that he did it. He didn't give the order. He
personally did it.
Skewer and plant for 1,000 people. And,
I want to know how he found the time.
Well, he had 10 years.
That's right.
You have to imagine, like, he was done with training at 13. By 15, he was on to impaling. Got 8 solid years of impaling left in him. So, but Mehmet goes, nah, I just want the boys. Because I got a two-front war coming up.
Well, what we're told is, yeah, because he's going to invade Vienna, and he's going to invade somewhere else.
I can't remember where else he said. I want to say he said Constantinople.
It wasn't Constantinople.
But, like, that's where he would have flipped,
He's going to invade somewhere else, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because that never comes up again.
Well, it's explained to us that the reason that the Turks want boys, other than being veiled predators,
yeah,
is that the boys, if they get them young, they can make them loyal to them, teach them their own ways, and then keep them for life. Even though they gave Dracula back.
Even though, and there's a part where Mehmet's like, you know, you lived with us, you spoke our language, you even prayed like us.
Yeah.
Which adds this weird element where it's like, oh, don't worry, everybody, Dracula came back to the one true faith.
But there's another thing where Dracula says the only thing he liked about living with the Turks was the coffee.
Yeah. Which I think, funny gag.
He says outright multiple times, like, I hate your culture. It's so strange. Like, he never actually says he hates a race, but he says he hates their culture.
Along those same lines, there's the weird scene where Dracula rides in, and the worst and most devoted soldiers of Mehmet are all blonde-haired, blue-eyed.
That's true.
Whereas Mehmet himself is darker-skinned and has... a dude who looks an awful lot like Borat's associate producer in armor next to him. And it's like, it's such a weird thing. It's like, look what's going to happen. These white people are going to become Muslims if Dracula loses. It's like,
I think the implication of the blue-eyed, blonde-haired soldiers is supposed to be that those are...
Yeah, those are the ones they took from Transylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if Dracula loses, that's what happens. Only Dracula was strong enough to come back.
After the meeting with Mehmet, Dracula goes back and he's like, okay, I gotta hand over the kids. Like, yeah. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna hand them over. And
And Mehmet makes him hand over his own kid. That's Mehmet's, like, since you came to talk this out rationally, here's an extra fuck you.
Yeah.
I want your kid as a royal hostage.
Right. So, there's another scene where he talks it over with his wife. His wife says, there's gotta be something else we can do. He says, no. So... after that, there's a scene where Dracula and Mehmet and his soldiers, they meet up on a battlefield. They're gonna hand over his kid, and his wife is like, no, 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 and tries to keep him away. The kid's like, I'm gonna go. I have to go to save my country.
Because he and Dracula have had a conversation about this, about how the same thing happened to Dracula.
Right.
Vlad.
The kid comes up, he meets his dad in the middle, he's about to hand over the kid, And Dracula looks down at him and he goes, run back to your mother.
Well, because the soldier, the smarmy soldier, says something to him.
Yeah. I don't even, what does he say?
He says, oh, I have to admit we're a little, like, because he does an accent. He's like, I have to admit we're a little more disappointed.
Oh, that you didn't put up more of a fight.
You didn't put up more resistance.
Yeah.
And so Dracula's like, all right, fuck all this, and kills those four guys in, like, 4 seconds.
Yeah, he kills them all. He makes the kid run back to his mom. And they know, at this point, shit's on.
Yeah,
like,
shit's on.
The Turks are gonna come invade Castle Dracula now.
Now, this scene, it's a cool little action piece, because it's, like, it's your first indication, like, oh, yeah, Dracula's a badass. Like, even though all we've seen Dracula doing, well, I guess other than talking to Mehmet. Like, he's very submissive towards Mehmet and everything.
Right.
But, like, Dracula fucking scaled a mountain and faced down a vampire.
Well, Dracula is presented at the beginning of this movie as, like, the reformed criminal trope.
Yeah. He's the old gunfighter.
Yeah, where he's like, I put away my guns.
Yeah. They literally do that scene later in the movie.
Right.
But, like, at the same time, I feel like this cheapens the movie, because we see Dracula fucking murder those dudes in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And then there is no appreciable difference between that fight and after he gets his vampire powers. It's just like, he kills more people.
There's more of them later. So,
if, like, it should have been, I feel like you could have made Dracula still look like a badass, but if he would, like, there's a bunch of very small changes you could have made to this movie that I think would have made it immeasurably better. And I think the first one would have been when Dracula fights those guys, have it be an actual fight scene where Dracula kills them. But
it's tougher for him.
But yeah, like, at the end of it, he's, like, huffing and puffing instead of standing dramatically.
Yeah.
Because that, then we're like, oh, okay, so if he had, he gets wounded. Then we're like, oh, okay, if he had trouble with four guys, then these thousand soldiers aren't going to be anything.
Right.
As it stands, it's, again, it's like Assassin's Creed.
Right.
Where he just, like, you know, hits X at the right times and just blows through them.
So he knows that they're coming. So he's like, okay, I gotta do something about this. I gotta go get some powers so I can fight off this army of Turks that's coming.
And the monk had told him that the vampire living up in the mountain, in Death Mountain, was a guy who sold his soul to a devil for power, but the power was also a curse. You know, even if we don't tell you, you know.
He's confined to the cave, can't leave until someone else takes his burden.
Right.
So Dracula goes up to the cave, and he says, look, he scales the mountain with his bare hands.
Free climbs it. In a cape and armor. Hilarious.
So he goes into the cave. First of all, the vampire comes up to him and goes, I can't believe you came back. Nobody ever comes back. And Dracula goes, I don't think anybody ever leaves.
And decent line.
And he goes, yeah, okay. And he goes, why did you come back? And Dracula's like, I'll take your burden away from you. And Charles Dance vampire, who never is named,
that's my second thing. Something that, like, a small touch that would have made this movie immeasurably better, name him and call him Orlok.
Yeah.
Which I don't think they would have done, because he's the Nick Fury. Like, that's the implication, is that
I think he's the villain.
No, because what he says, spoiler warning, he gives Dracula his power. He lets Dracula drink his blood and become a vampire.
Yeah.
And one of the things he says is, listen, you're going to get this. If you can survive for 3 days without drinking blood, another Christ parallel.
Right.
If you can survive for 3 days without drinking blood, then the power only lasts for 3 days, and then you're free of it. But if you do drink blood before the third day, then you're going to take my burden, I'm going to be free, and I'm going to go get revenge on the demon who gave me this power eventually, and one day, I'm going to call on you, and you're going to do me a favor. It, like, suddenly turns into this weird Godfather shit.
Yeah.
It's all this foreshadowing.
I sort of got this weird implication that he was going to fight him, too, that they were going to fight each other, which may happen,
yeah.
But then it'll turn into a thing where he's got to, like, assemble this group to fight Cthulhu.
But, like, if they had called him Orlok, or Varney, or, like, anything that would have tied it back into this dude, because this dude is clearly meant to be the first vampire.
Right.
Which I do like. I like that. I like that as an origin for Dracula. There's a lot of the plot stuff in this movie that I think is cool. It's the execution is where it falters. It's where people start busting out Greek root words.
So, Charles Dance cuts himself, puts the blood in a container. Dracula
a smashed up skull.
And a smashed up skull. That's what it is. He makes him drink the blood. He drinks it.
Well, what happens is he drinks the blood, and he's like, now what? And Orlok, fake Orlok, is like, now you die. And then it cuts to black.
That's right.
Which
right.
is actually, again, solid gag. And you lean over to me and you go, the end. Which I kind of wish that would have happened. And he wakes up in the river where he found
that's
the helmet.
That's right. He has washed down the river.
Hey, have you seen Spider-Man?
I have seen Spider-Man.
Okay, do you know who else saw Spider-Man?
The makers of this movie.
The makers of this movie.
Because Dracula has a Spider-Man figuring out what his powers are scene. He, puts his hand down on a rock and busts the rock with his hand. And he goes, that could be useful. And then he, starts running. And he notices that he has blood vision. He notices that he has eagle vision because he can see the blood of animals in the forest. And then he, starts running through the forest and turns into a bunch of bats and literally does everything but go, woohoo!
It is not as good as the discovering your vampire powers scene in Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2. It is not as good as Bella discovering her vampire powers. Dracula gets back to Castle Dracula as they're bombarding it with cannon fire.
Yeah, it's getting fucked up already by the time he gets there.
All the people are huddling in. Dracula shows up, and everyone's like, where the fuck were you, Dracula? And he's like, don't worry, I was out getting some superpowers.
Yeah.
So
that he doesn't say that exact line, but it's close.
But he says something about powers.
Yeah, later on his wife goes, get some power.
Later on, his wife goes, are these the powers you were telling me about? Which I think is, again, if it would have been treated as anything other than deadly serious, it would be hilarious.
Yeah.
So there's a pretty cool scene where the cannon fire is trained on the gates and they blow the gates off Castle Dracula.
Right.
And Dracula comes out, and there's 1,000 soldiers in front of him, and the soldiers start charging.
And this is when it turns into Dynasty Warriors.
It turns into Dynasty Warriors. Dracula starts walking in slow motion, which I think, there was no need for that part to be in slow motion, just have Dracula walking toward them at normal speed. So Dracula runs into the crowd. Guess what? He fucks them all up.
Yep. After he kills all the soldiers, all 1,000 soldiers, and they're all around him on the ground dead, the lady sitting next to me in the movie theater went, damn! That was her comment about that.
There's a shot, and they're all, forming a wedge that is pointing at Dracula. And that doesn't make sense, because they don't know Dracula can fight an army.
Right.
And even if Dracula's fighting an army...
If one guy was walking out toward an army, the only thing you would expect him to do is talk.
Yeah. But they're, and even then, if they're like, yeah, we're gonna fucking overrun this guy and take this castle... He does not kill so many of them in that first little action sequence that there would not be, 500 guys that could just get around him and go into the castle and kill literally everyone in Transylvania, because there's only 30 people in Transylvania. Dracula kills all the people. I actually thought that looked pretty cool.
That was not a bad scene.
Because the way he does it, it's like Nightcrawler in the X-Men movie. He, turns into a cloud of bats whenever they swing a sword through him. It's very Castlevania.
The action in this movie... It's pretty well done.
It's pretty well done.
Part.
Yeah. So Dracula kills everybody, and then he goes back in, and this is the timeline I want to talk about.
Okay.
As we established, Dracula's got 3 days, just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Correct. Which it seems like that's an awfully short amount of time.
It is. There's no reason for it to be there other than they wanted to make it it's Easter
Christ,
Sunday,
Christ
parallel.
Which it makes the Turks have to act really quickly.
Well, yeah. I love stuff like that in vampire lore. Like Buffy did this, where you would get killed by a vampire, and then you would have 3 days in the grave, and then you would resurrect as a satanic parody, a demonic parody of Jesus' resurrection.
Right.
Stuff like that, I think, is actually really cool. But there's no reason for that to happen in this movie. Because here's what happens. The army converges on Castle Dracula. Dracula defeats the entire army, 1,000 men. Organizes a retreat from Castle Dracula to the monastery.
Right.
Impales 1,000 men...
That's the thing that I'm like, how did he have time to do that?
He impales 999 men.
Right.
Because he leaves one alive.
Right.
Then, news of that gets back to Mehmet, and Mehmet mobilizes an army of 100,000 soldiers that march from...
Wherever they are.
Mehmet headquarters.
Yeah.
Constantinople to, which is the Transylvania.
Yeah.
That happens on the first night.
All of it.
All of that happens on the first night. Do you, like, America could not mobilize 100,000 soldiers in response to something in 8 hours.
Right. It's, that. Yeah, that part...
We have airplanes!
These people clearly can teleport. Like, everyone has teleportation powers.
Yeah, like, how did this... Like, first of all, how did this news get back to Mehmet II?
Right, because only one guy was left.
One guy is left.
One guy was left, and he's, like, fucked up.
Yeah, presumably, they don't check in. It's like, well, what happened? Send a runner.
Yeah.
Like, the only way this makes sense is if Mehmet II is literally a mile away.
Yeah.
With his entire army. So, Mehmet goes...
Which, in that case, why didn't he attack Castle Dracula with his whole army instead of the 1,000?
Well, to be fair, without vampire powers, the whole army would have been enough to fuck up Castle Dracula pretty hard.
That's fair.
But yeah, so he goes, oh, well, we're gonna, like, if they killed 1,000, we're gonna mobilize 100,000. Which is a huge number of people!
Yeah.
And they're all like, they are ready to go that morning.
Yeah.
That night!
That night.
Because they arrive at Castle Dracula that morning.
Because Dracula and his wife are standing in the... In the window of, you know, of the castle, they look out. He uses his blood vision. He sees them coming.
Yeah, this is the craziest shit. It takes longer for Dracula, and he says, we'll take enough Transylvanians with us that they won't attack anybody else who's in Transylvania. They'll know they're coming after us. So we don't have to take everybody. We just have to take enough so that they to ensure that they come after us. It takes them, like Dracula and, what, 100 max... people,
maybe
it takes Dracula and his wife and son and 100 people longer to get to the monastery than it takes 100,000 people to march
from wherever
they are.
Yeah.
This monastery that is like an hour's horseback ride away, it takes this 100 people 2 days to get there.
Yeah, so while they are on their way to the monastery,
that shit makes no sense.
Not at all.
Most of this movie more or less proceeds logically.
Yeah.
Based on its batshit crazy premise. That is oh, come on.
Batshit quite literally.
Yeah.
The Transylvanians are on their way to the monastery. They're trudging through the woods to get to the monastery. They set up camp.
Right.
For the night. Dracula and his wife, this is the scene where it's like the actress who plays Dracula's wife is just all neck. Like,
she is all neck.
Dracula is fighting his urge to drink blood. He's finally kind of, like, figuring out, like, oh, shit. I really want to drink blood. Because he's sitting around a fire with some other soldiers who are eating, and he's, like, noticing that they have blood in them. So he goes back into his tent where his wife is. They start,
and she's like, hey, I know we're probably going to die because you defied the emperor of the Eastern Roman Empire.
Right.
Do you want to fuck?
Yeah, so they start making out hard. They're, like, getting at it, and he, like, sees her neck just pulsating.
Yeah.
And even before that, like, I even laughed because I was like, the camera's, like, weirdly focusing in on her long neck.
Well, what I thought was going to happen in this scene, Dracula has scars from being whipped as a kid.
Right.
And when he becomes a vampire, it heals up all your wounds, so Dracula doesn't have scars. And there's, you know, she's, like, all up on him. She's, like, clawing at his back. And these are big scars. They are, like, yeah, scars that you would be able to feel.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have them. And I thought, like, oh, she's, like, this is where she's going to notice that he doesn't have his scars and wonder what's going on. And that scene happens.
But later. Yeah.
Just from her seeing it. And there's, like, but the weird thing is there's, like, a ton of shots of her running her hands over where his scars would be.
Yeah.
That, like, linger on it. I guess because that's a PG-13 way to show sex?
So
between a fully clothed woman rubbing her husband's back?
He keeps his pants on, even though they're, like, grinding. It's strange.
Yeah, oddly enough, not full dick in this movie. Not full erection in this movie.
So, but he, like, he sees her pulsating neck, and he's like, gotta get out of here.
I'm out.
And the dude behind us goes, buzzkill.
I forgot about that.
So, he, like...
Yeah, being a vampire is indeed a buzzkill, bro.
He goes out of the tent, he, like, goes and cools off for a minute.
Ugh.
He goes out into the woods, and out from behind, like, a cliff or a bush or something.
A log.
From behind something comes Renfield, who I swear to God is played by a Captain Jack Sparrow cosplayer.
I thought he looked like Pirate Steve from Dodgeball.
He looks exactly
like... Which is basically
like
a Captain Jack Sparrow cosplayer.
He looks slightly like Johnny Depp. And he's doing Jack Sparrow shit.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like huddled over a little more. But he's doing exactly Jack Sparrow shit.
Never called Renfield either. When I was sure this movie was gonna be, he was gonna be like, "What's your name?" And he was gonna be like, "Renfield, Ivan Renfield."
Yeah,
like try and play off Renfield as a Transylvanian name.
That does not happen. Instead, he just like offers up Dracula some of his blood. He cuts his wrist.
Let me serve you, master.
He cuts his wrist and pours it into a cup.
Yeah.
His blood, and Dracula has to like slap it away. Renfield goes, he like shoves Renfield up against a wall and goes like, "You get out of here."
Ooh, you.
You get out of here. And Renfield like shuffles away and Dracula kind of like.
Literally goes, "Yes, master."
Yeah.
Like in that voice.
Yeah. And he kind of like, Dracula kind of like puts his hand in the blood.
He touches the blood dirt.
And he's like, "Man, I would really love to have that blood." Then he goes back to the tent. He falls asleep in a corner as far away from his wife as he can be. And is shivering.
Yeah, doing a very bad impression of someone going through withdrawal.
Yeah. So he's shivering. His wife, like, uncovers him. And is kind of like, "What is going on with you?
Hey, where's your scars?"
And she notices that his scars are gone. She's like, "What is up?" And he goes, "Well, I guess I just have to show you." And he lifts up part of the tent so that the sunlight comes in. And shows how the sun is, like, making his skin melt away.
Yeah.
And she's like, you became that, but you went and talked to that vampire.
Which she doesn't know about.
No.
She doesn't, like, she should be going, "What is happening?"
Yeah.
Like, but she, no one else in Transylvania other than Vlad knows what the fuck a vampire
is. And that scribe.
No one knows, and yet she's like, "Oh, who cursed you with this devilish affliction?"
Yeah.
She turns into Florida from Good Times.
And here's the other thing. That tent, this is something that happens throughout the movie from here on. It has very fast and loose sunlight rules. Because that tent is super permeable. You can see holes in the fabric. Like, in the tent. He should be dead.
Yeah. Also, Dracula doesn't need to sleep. Dracula has no need to sleep during the daytime.
Right.
Doesn't sleep in a coffin either. Like, it's a weird pick and choose.
Yeah.
Of what they want. Which, you know, is fine. All Dracula stuff is like that. But the stuff that they choose,
classic,
I think, is weird.
Classic Dracula has to stay in the lower level of a dark castle in a coffin to shield himself from sunlight. That's,
yes.
Like, that's how much protection from sunlight he needs.
Yeah.
This Dracula can stay in a light permeable tent and be fine.
He can go outside.
He can go outside as long as he stays in the shade.
As long as he's... Not even the dark, in the shade.
Yeah.
It is, like, the most well-lit shade I have ever seen.
So, he tells his wife, "Hey, all right, I'm gonna stay here in the tent.
Because I can't go outside.
Because I can't go outside at night. You take everybody else toward the monastery. I'll stay here till the sun goes down, and then I'll come meet you."
You march all day towards this monastery that is a mile away.
Yeah.
And don't get there.
They must have woken up at, like, 2 p.m. And they're like, I'll meet you when the sun goes down.
Yeah.
So that's what happens. And the Turks, who have moved very quickly...
This is where you find out that the very pretty Turk who was pawing at the boys has a kitty cat helmet.
He does. He has a kitty cat helmet.
Which I was... That's when I was like, come on!
So
kitty cat.
They decide they're going to ambush the group that is going to the monastery and get them by surprise. Like, this is not even close to a group of 100,000.
It's the advance. It's the scouts.
It's the scouts. It's the advance group. And they're like, oh, we'll just ambush them now. So they ambush them. And managed to kill quite a few of the soldiers. Like, they get the jump on them.
They kill this movie's Boromir.
That's right.
They kill Community Theater Sean Bean.
Yep. And Dracula, like, watches the sun go down behind the clouds and leaves and, like, manages to, like, speed it in his bat form to where the ambush is happening and stop the ambush.
Now, if not for the part where the guy explains the Greek root word of vampire, this would be the dumbest part, because the kitty cat guy is menacing Mrs. Dracula and Dracula Jr., and he's getting ready to kill him, and Dracula just forms up out of bats all of a sudden and spooks him.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, bah! And falls off a cliff.
And the guy behind us in that at that point goes, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, but it's like fucking, you're Dracula. You killed and then impaled 1,000 people. Maybe follow up and make sure that guy's dead.
He does not.
He doesn't. He just goes, bah! He doesn't go blah, but he almost goes blah.
Might as well.
Yeah.
The guy falls off the cliff, and the next time we see him, he's climbing back up the cliff.
The next time he's like, ooh, I'll go get my revenge on Dracula in the third act of this film.
So after Dracula stops the ambush, they get to the monastery. There's a group that has gotten to the monastery before Dracula has.
Yeah.
So Dracula walks into the monastery, he sees a bunch of his people praying, and he gets pissed off at this.
Which I don't understand.
He gets pissed off at this and goes like, get everybody up. Praying is not going to defend these walls. So stop praying. We got to get our shit together. Be ready for the approaching Turks, our assailants, because they're about to be here.
Yeah, holy war having, let's go to a monastery, Dracula, is like, hey, no time for praying.
Yeah.
And the scribes, the monks are like, oh, that's, we don't like that.
So the monks are, like, now the suspicious
monks,
of him.
The monks also have a massive armory.
Yes, they do. Well, it's clearly Dracula's armory.
Yeah.
Because his armor is in there.
Because there's a boss door.
There's a boss door.
And his son goes, what's in that room? And he goes, something I hope I never have to use. And it's literally the room, it's the door that they keep the armor behind in a fucking Assassin's Creed game.
Yep.
It is that exact door.
You have to open it with 10 crests.
Right. You have to go get all the keys.
In the monastery, this is where all the, like, Assassin's Creed stay out of the sunlight stuff happens.
Yeah.
There's a scene where he's, like, walking around in a room, and there's sunlight coming in through the windows and coming in through the doorways and stuff, and as long as he stays in the shade, somehow,
fine,
he does not die. But there's a monk who is super suspicious of him. He doesn't, like, he's looking at Dracula and he's like, there's something going on with that guy. I don't know what's going on.
And Dracula gives him, like, at one point, Dracula notices he's watching and gives him kind of like a sheepish, what's up?
Yeah.
Like, just a little upwards nod.
So after Dracula spends a long time, like, trying to stay out of the sunlight and in the shade, this monk just cuts a hole in the...
The monk's like, oh shit, you're a vampire. Look, obviously you can stand in front of the cross so you're not a full-on Satan.
Well, there's a scene later where Dracula is in a room full of crosses praying. And at this point, I'm just like, what is happening? Well, no, how can he do this?
Well, no, because the monk says that he holds up a cross and goes, okay, the cross doesn't affect you, so obviously you're not a full-on vampire yet. You're still in your 3-day trial period.
But, like, if sunlight kills him, why wouldn't the cross also affect him?
Because he still has his soul.
Sunlight and silver... very harmful to him.
But he still has his soul, so
We should have noted throughout, like, he had a silver ring, and it's been burning him.
Oh, is that going to be a plot point?
Yes.
No. No. That never becomes a plot point. The ring?
Not the ring.
I thought the ring was going to be a thing.
But silver.
Silver does.
Yeah.
But yeah, the monk actually says, like, okay, you're still in your 3-day vampire trial period, because he knows literally everything about this movie.
It's weird how certain people know all of vampire mythology.
Yeah. And he goes,
this movie's specific vampire mythology.
Yeah. And he goes, hey, let me kill you so that you don't die and go to hell.
But he doesn't do this in private. He does it in front of everybody.
Yeah, and then he sets the room on fire, and there's enough smoke that it blots out the sun, because that's how fires work.
Although, Dracula comes walking out, and the sun is, like, hurting, like, it's hurting him.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
I didn't think
it was. Like, he's, like, burning up a little bit, and he tells everybody, like, this is how you thank me?
This is the moment where I was like, okay, I can like this movie, because Dracula comes out, and he's like, fools!
Yeah.
And I'm like, all I want out of my Dracula is for him to yell at people and call them fools.
Yeah. And he's like, this is how you thank me? I went through this for you, and you are doing this to me? No. And it ends. Like, he like, talks them out of killing him for being a vampire.
Mrs. Dracula runs over and she's like, hey, don't kill all these people, Dracula. And he's like, fine. We got work to do.
Yeah.
But I'll see your asses later.
Nobody explains, like, hey, he's just a vampire for now. If he doesn't drink any blood, he'll go back to being a normal human.
There is a hilarious part where Mrs., like, the crowd's like, oh, we gotta kill this monster. Which, by the way, they don't know what the fuck a vampire is.
No, and it's true. He is the only reason they're alive.
No one in Transylvania has heard the word vampire other than the monk and Dracula. So, even if the monk ran out of the building going, he's a fucking vampire, they'd be all like, what? Is there a Greek root word to that? Like, it is, like, no one knows what he is. Like, all, like, when Dracula walks out and starts, like, tearing down, like, because he picks up a big, heavy piece of wood, like, he's going to just bash everybody with it. Like, at that point, they should be like, yeah, fuck yeah, we got the strongest dude I've ever seen. Yeah. Hell yes.
Yeah.
But they don't, for no reason.
But then the whole thing is dropped anyway. Like, yeah. they give up on it. Yeah. And the monk is like, sorry.
There's a lot that doesn't get followed up on.
Yeah.
Which it is introduced and then dismissed.
The monk comes back later, but to defend Dracula.
Yeah. Well, to defend Dracula Jr.
But, like, he leaves Dracula alone. Like, yeah. He doesn't... Anyway. So there's a scene where Dracula prays for help. His son... There's a father-son, like, I'm gonna protect you scene. Like, yeah. I'm never gonna let you get hurt. And then...
Which, again, is kind of pointless.
And then the 100,000 Turks invade.
Mehmet II arrives at the field of impaled bodies earlier than anybody else.
Yeah, he sees all the impaled bodies.
And then one of his advisors is like, when they see this shit, this is really going to scare our guys. And so Mehmet's like, they can march blindfolded. And so there's like a long scene where he puts blindfolds on them. And he's like, come on, guys, no peeking. Let's ride through the field of 1,000 impaled corpses. Oops, did I say that? So it's like, and again, it's pointless.
There's no real reason for them to be blindfolded. There's no payoff on it.
Yeah, because, like, other than that Dracula says that he impaled people in order to scare them away from fighting him. And so, like, so that nobody would go, wait, if that was to scare people away from fighting him, then why did those guys just go on and fight him?
Yeah.
It's like, well, because there's a fucking 100,000 of them.
Yeah, like, what, like,
trying
why
to
do they
kill
care?
30 guys.
They should know. They are Turks. They should know that Dracula did that.
Yeah.
There's, like, there's no reason to blindfold them other than just to, like, do something to do something.
I mean, look, it is demoralizing, I am sure, to see a bunch of your fellow soldiers impale. But, like, in the world of this movie, it's, again, like, it's weird things that don't get followed up on. So they arrive.
They arrive just as it's turning night.
Hilarious.
Thank goodness. And, well, actually, it's, like, near, like, it's maybe it's a few hours away from dawn.
From breaking dawn.
That's right.
Part two. Because Dracula says, like, listen, it's going to be dawn, and this is day three, and if I don't fuck up those Turks by sunrise, then I'm going to lose all my Dracula powers, and this will have all been for nothing. Which made me wonder, why the fuck didn't you just go kill them? Like, you know what the main guy looks like.
Yeah. Just and go, you know, like, where they are. You met him.
Yeah. You know his name. You know what he looks like. You're friends with him, and you can turn into a cloud of bats, and no one can kill you. Just go fucking kill him.
Yeah. Like, why do you have to be on defense?
Yeah. There's no reason for Dracula to be on defense.
Yeah.
Like, he killed 1,000 people in an hour.
If even that long.
Because that night passed fucking quick.
Yeah. So, it's a few hours away from daybreak. The army has arrived. They are attacking. So, Dracula goes up to the top of the spire of the monastery.
You know what they call that? The belfry.
Where there are bats. And he goes, oh, cool, look at those bats. And he starts mind-controlling the bats. So there's this giant swarm of bats going around the castle.
He is doing some Sorcerer's Apprentice shit with his hands, too.
He's doing, like, Tai Chi.
Some Mickey Mouse shit. It is fucking hilarious.
So the swarm of bats starts flying around the monastery. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. We only saw, like, a handful of bats in that belfry.
Well, he starts summoning them from all... Like, it's every bat in Transylvania.
It's, like, all the bats.
It's, like, in fucking Batman Year One.
Yeah, it's a huge number of bats. So they're swarming around. He turns the bats into a fist. This is the thing from the trailer, where he forms the bats into a fist, and they smash down on the army below.
Not quite. He formed, like... Like, that's a good way to describe it. I was hoping it would... again, it would be like Bayonetta, and it would look like a giant hand. Like,
it kind of did.
It doesn't. Like, I wanted it to be a giant hand smashing dudes.
It's not like a big... It's not solid. There are holes in it. But it does kind of have the shape of a fist.
It's kind of the shape. But I, like, again, I wanted to be like Bayonetta. But, like, I'm watching this going, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not bad. With his eagle vision, he sees Mehmet, or who he thinks is Mehmet, on a horse in his gold armor. And he's like, there he is. All right, going after him. So he jumps off the belfry. He turns into a bunch of bats. He goes straight after who he thinks is Mehmet and finds out that it's a decoy. Dracula finds out that this guy is a decoy and not actually Mehmet. And how does he actually get incapacitated? He gets, like, incapacitated there on the ground for a second.
I don't know. And also, Mehmet is literally, like, 20 feet away, just dressed as a soldier.
As a normal soldier.
And it's, like, behind him. And it's like, and then he, like, smirks. He's like, gotcha. And it's like, I'm sorry, how did you get him?
Yeah.
Well, I guess he got him because the monastery, which is up in these mountains, it had a back door that the scouts, including Kitty Cat Helmet, go through.
Right. They go in and kidnap Mrs. Dracula, Dracula Jr., and kill a bunch of the people that are inside the monastery.
Right. And because it's an action movie, Dracula's wife has to die. Because that's what women do in action movies.
Right. So Dracula is, like, momentarily incapacitated. I don't even remember how. Especially since he's, like, basically invincible and immortal.
Yeah.
But he's there on the ground for a second. Mehmet is in his regular clothes. Mrs. Dracula, Dracula Jr., taken away. Dracula, like, quickly flies back up.
Well, the Mrs. Dracula and Dracula Jr., Mrs. Drac and Alucard,
they're
are
the
up
top,
at the top of the belfry.
In the belfry.
Kitty Cat walks up and slugs her in the gut like the opening of Double Dragon.
Yes, he does.
Which, I'm not gonna lie, was kind of hilarious. but it's like so viciously brutal. It's like the one real piece of violence in the movie.
Yeah.
And like kicks her off the balcony, and she's like hanging on the balcony. They take Dracula Jr. Dracula sees it, and he's like, oh no! And he flies up, and he goes up and he kills the Kitty Cat Helmet.
Right.
And then Mrs. Dracula loses her grip and she falls, and Dracula jumps off after her.
This is actually, I thought this was kind of a neat little bit of continuity. When Dracula did the Fist of Bats, he broke the tiles.
He broke the tiles.
Beneath him with his fist.
Yes.
That's why she falls, because the tiles are broken.
But it also gives her the place to hold on.
Yeah, right.
Because it's very smooth and there wouldn't have been any place to hold on. The thing that, I noticed that too, and I thought that was kind of cool. But, like, the scene's ruined for me because she falls off this very high tower. Dracula jumps off the very high tower, trying to catch her, turning into a cloud of bats that is propelling itself down. And she is falling. And, look, I know it's a movie about magical vampire bats. Also, there's basic physics.
You're descending at a certain...
You're 9.8 meters per second squared.
...level of acceleration while you're falling. If there are bats propelling you, you are being accelerated faster than
and
that.
You just can't catch her.
You just can't catch her.
Just can't catch her.
So she falls to the ground, but doesn't die.
And we have seen him move super fucking fast.
Super fast.
Like flying, moving on the ground. It's like movie, you're not playing by your own rules.
Yeah.
Like, and again, it's not even that I wanted to see this, but it would have been so easy to just have Kitty Cat Helmet stab her at the top of the tower.
But instead, she falls, she has to fall so that Dracula can go to the bottom where the Turks are all around him and watch her and, like, hold her in her...
Yeah.
In his arms.
She also falls off a tower that's, like, and it takes her a long-ass time to land. It's got to be, like, 100 feet.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
And lands, A, does not die immediately, B, is not visibly injured, C, is just like, oh, I'm dying.
Yeah.
That's a real long fall. They got me.
As Mehmet is like, ha ha ha, we did it, we got him. Time to go. Like, he doesn't have anybody come over and stab Dracula. He's just like, got him, time to go. So they leave, and Mrs. Dracula's like, you can still beat him. And he's like, no, I can't. I'm going to lose my vampire powers. She's like, drink my blood. You have to do it. Do it right now. So he does. He gets his fangs out. He drinks her blood.
I would have liked this if it had been a revenge thing. But they're still trying to make Dracula, and particularly Mrs. Dracula, seem heroic.
So that this has to be a save your son.
Yeah, so this is a noble thing. If she had just been like, they took Dracula Jr., they kicked me off a tower, I want you to kill them.
Yeah.
Like, if this would have been the moment where she was like, it's time for revenge, then I think we could have gotten the Dracula that we like. The Dracula who is, like, a monster.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of mixed stuff going on here. Because after that, after she's like, save our son, and he's like, okay, I'll save our son. I know I have to save our son. And he drinks her blood. He goes back up to the monastery.
Right.
And he finds anybody who's still alive.
Anybody who's dying.
Any Transylvanian who is still alive but dying. And the first one he sees, he says, do you want revenge?
Do you want vengeance?
Do you want vengeance? And the guy goes, yeah. So Dracula cuts his hand and tells him, drink this.
Right.
The guy drinks the blood, and then it shows a bunch of other people, and Dracula makes a vampire army.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, if one Dracula can kill 1,000 soldiers.
So that's like the moment where it's like, okay, maybe he really is Dracula here. Maybe he is out for revenge.
Which would have made so much more sense if Mrs. Dracula had told him that.
Yeah.
Like, because it would have been... But there's a weird thing where he's like, I know there's a heaven, and I know you're up there.
Well, at first he says, I know there is hell. I now know there is a hell. So there must be a heaven. And I know she's in it.
Yeah.
And that's when she's being shown as in, like,
her... Yeah, when he buries her.
In her burial garb and stuff.
Yeah, but I really... Again, I think this movie tried to sanitize itself too much. It's the opposite problem that I have with superhero movies. Superhero movies, I think, skew too dark.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, Iron... Like, the first thing Iron Man does after he gets back to America is improve his wearable tank and then goes and gets revenge. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, like... I think that's fine. Like, I like that movie, and I think that's fine for Tony Stark because Tony Stark has a character arc
right. Where
he later rejects that idea. But, you know, that's not a superhero thing to do. It's totally a fucking Dracula thing to do.
Absolutely.
It's Dracula a monster thing to do.
Yes.
Like, because a monster story, especially if you're going to be bringing in stuff like Frankenstein, a monster story is, oh, you fucked with the wrong person.
Yeah.
And now everyone's going to pay.
Right. He amasses his army of vampires. They go to the Turks' camp. And there's a scene where he's like the Turks are looking to the east and they're saying, hey, shouldn't the sun have come up
also,
by now?
It's daytime when Dracula drinks Mrs. Dracula's blood and right. Gets his Dracula powers. But, and I kind of like this, that it's like, oh shit, now he's for real Dracula. The skies get dark, lightning starts crashing. I do kind of like that, but I think it's kind of cheap for it to be like, yeah, we kind of wrote this so it was daytime so that this would be a thing. But it's just going to be nighttime during the day for the rest of this movie.
By the way, we see Charles Dance, the first vampire, walk out of the cave as soon as Dracula bites his wife.
Right.
The Turks must have gotten back to their camp super fast, because they were there as soon as, like, daybreak was supposed to be happening. They're like, hey, look over there in the east. There's, like, clouds covering the sky and, like, lightning crashes. And they're like, shouldn't the sun have come up by now? And they're like, yeah, I think it probably should have. That's when Dracula, and again in slow motion, comes walking up. His vampire army is behind him.
Oh, he has gone into his Assassin's Creed room and
gotten his armor,
which actually looks dumb as shit.
It's got a big dragon on it.
It's like it's so Gary Oldman, but in a video game. Gary Oldman Dracula, but video game dumb.
It is definitely modeled after the Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Dracula armor, the Francis Ford Coppola Dracula armor, because it's red. It's not.
It's just a little.
It doesn't look like muscles.
It doesn't look like muscles.
But it's got like designy stuff.
Yeah, it looks like a bad action figure.
Yeah,
it looks like this is the Dracula action figure from the third or fourth wave of Dracula figures.
I think Dracula looks way more like Dracula when he's just in his black armor and red cape.
And his cape, yeah.
That's what Dracula looks like. That's a good costume.
Yeah.
His Dracula armor, on the other hand, looks dumb.
Yeah, it looks like an action figure.
Yeah. So, they attack the Turks' camp. They kill every Turk.
Yeah, because he's got an army of vampires that he just unleashes.
And they just bite the shit out of them and kill them all.
And then he gets to the top of the pagoda, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is there.
He walks into the tent where Mehmet is. And Mehmet's like, hey, I heard you had a weakness. I think it's silver.
I don't know how he heard this. Because, again... No one has heard of vampires, but I think this set piece is fucking awesome.
So he's got the silver coins that Dracula gave him at the beginning of the movie all over the floor. He's got a big silver sword, and he's got bags of the silver all tied to the ceiling.
Tied to the ceiling of his...
of a tent.
Tent, which is interesting. As a set piece, I think that's really awesome. Like, Dracula's weak to silver, let's put him in a room full of silver coins. And hanging them from the ceiling, as improbable as it is pretty fucking cool, because he slashes at the bags during the fight.
Somehow, it makes Dracula the underdog of that fight.
Yeah, but that's the part that doesn't make sense, because the silver is suddenly not just something like... like, it burns him. It's kryptonite. Like, being in a room full of it, even when he's not touching it, makes him weak.
It weakens him considerably.
And I'm watching this going, well, wait a second. Even as a human, Dracula was the baddest ass motherfucker these dudes had ever seen. He kills four guys in 2 seconds.
Right.
We're to believe Mehmet is a badass as well.
Right.
But, like, at this point in the movie, especially now that Dracula is full Dracula with his goofy ass looking fangs.
Right.
There is nothing you can show me that makes me believe, like, any human has a chance, unless, like, unless Mehmet had pulled out a gun. Like, if Mehmet had pulled out a gun and been like, I got something real for your ass, like,
and
shown off.
And said there was a silver bullet in there.
Yeah. Like, that, like, if they would have shot Dracula with a cannon before this fight, that would have made me believe it. But, like, yeah, it's a weird kryptonite thing, and it's also, it turns into Superman Returns at this point. Because you have a pretty cool fight.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden Dracula decides to win. He John Cena's up.
Yep. That's exactly what happens.
Mehmet is going to stake him through the heart, and Dracula...
he's like, no!
Yeah, Dracula gets his special bars.
And then he turns into bats and stakes Mehmet instead.
Yeah.
Through his armor.
And then he goes outside, and the vampires...
with his son. His son was inside the tent.
His son's inside the tent. There's a mirror in the tent that I thought, like, are they going to do, like, a mirror, like, vampires don't show up in mirrors things? They don't. It's just there to explain how Mehmet's hair is perfect. they go outside, Dracula's like, hey, how many Turks are left? And the vampire's like, ain't nobody left, dude.
Yeah, the only human left that we can drink blood from is your kid.
Yeah, and you would think, how many do you think die when Dracula is hitting him with the bats? Like, half? Half about?
That seems about right.
Like, half to, let's say 3/4 of them get killed by the bats. Because there's a big group of them back at the tent. So there's 25,000 people there. It's about 6 vampires.
Yeah.
You'd think they would be full. You'd think they would be like, oh my god, it's the vampire Thanksgiving. 3 days after Easter. I gotta go get my comfy pants. I gotta go get my sweatpants, Dracula. I'll be back.
But instead, they're like, we gotta drink your son's blood.
We have to drink this 70-pound... 10-year-old.
And they're like 15 vampires. They're going to share this kid, I guess?
Well, and but I guess the reason is they want to, they're like, hey, you made us monsters, and now we're going to have to fight all the humans. Like, we didn't do this for noble purposes like you did. We just want revenge.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to go kill all the humans, and the only thing holding you back is that kid. Which is, again, it's a weird morality to apply to this situation.
Well, here's the crazy thing that happens. Like, the monk from before shows up with a cross. I don't know how he got there. I don't know how he didn't die at the monastery. I don't know how he knew where to go. But he certainly gets to
the camp as fast as a bunch of vampires who can turn into bats and fly.
Yeah, so he gets there, he has a cross, and he's like showing all the vampires the cross. He's like, get back, get back. And he takes Dracula's son, and Dracula's like, yeah, take him, take him. Dracula's son is crying upset. He's like, I'm never going to see you again, Dad. And Dracula's like, yeah. And so he takes Dracula's son away, and then Dracula's like, okay, I know I made you vampires. I know you're the only remaining people from, like, this group I took from Transylvania, like, the subjects I promised to defend. But I'm gonna part the clouds away from the sun and destroy you all. And that's what he does.
Yeah. Because Stoker Dracula does have weather control powers, which makes me wonder how sunlight is even a thing for him. but yeah, so he destroys all the vampires and suicides.
And he stakes one of them. He stakes one of them and
that is, that is
impales
pretty cool.
them.
That is pretty cool because the one guy's like...
The main guy who's like, we're gonna take your son.
Yeah. Dracula goes, "Did you forget who I am?" and impales him, which I think is actually pretty cool.
And then, like, puts him up on the stake. It's the only time we actually see Vlad impale anybody.
Yes.
On camera. All the rest of the times, it's just we see the aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
So he impales that guy. He kills all the rest of them with the sun and tries to kill himself. Then we see Vlad the Fourth on the throne, ruling over Transylvania.
Because he narrates the voiceover at the beginning. He's like,
right.
"They called him Dracula. I call him Father."
Right.
And then we get a narration at the end of the movie where it's his coronation, and he's like, "Yeah, there are no, there's no pictures. Like Dracula was a hero. There's no pictures or statues of him." And I'm like, "Well, we do have paintings of
Vlad the Third of Valachia." Right. And then the last thing that happens in the movie in the past is...
Oh, you just said it.
As Renfield finds Dracula's corpse. Somehow Renfield knew where they were, too.
Yeah. Dracula's corpse does not burn up in the sunlight.
Not as...
Renfield gets there, like, immediately, I guess.
Yeah, so he pulls Dracula over into the shade, feeds him some of his own blood, and Dracula comes back. Flash forward to 2014. This is not a post-credit scene.
No, this is in the fucking movie.
It's in the movie. It feels like it should be the post-credit scene, though.
Yes.
Flash forward to 2014. Dracula is hanging out in, I believe it's London. I guess it's modern-day London.
I don't know what it's supposed to be. I guess it's London.
The woman who looks exactly like his wife is English.
Oh, yeah. So it's the same actress with a
short haircut.
Super cute...
Pixie cut.
Into it. which actually makes her look older.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
And Dracula, like, walks up to her and he goes...
He pickup artist, sir.
He PUAs her. Because he says, "Beautiful."
Beautiful.
And she goes, "I'm sorry?" And he goes, "Oh, the flowers. They're beautiful, m'lady."
M'lady.
And she goes, "M'lady?"
Like, oh, what a sweet thing to say to a young lady.
No, m'lady. She says, "M'lady, where are you from?" And he goes, "Far away from here." And somehow, and he's like, "What's your name?" She goes, "Mina."
Oh!
And then, like, I do like the way they have her react to him, which is just like, "Okay, bye." She walks away. I can't believe he m'ladies her, by the way.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
They might as well have put him in a fedora.
Also, he's walking around in the fucking daytime, right? That scene takes place in the daytime.
You're right.
Where he's just walking his ass around.
That is in the daytime.
There's also a callback to an earlier scene where he and his wife recite a poem to each other that's fucking awful. And then he says the poem to Mina.
And she says, "That's my favorite poem." And that's when she says, "Okay, bye." And she goes walking off. And Dracula walks after her like a creep.
Yeah.
And then we see Charles Dance, who is now just fucking modern-day Tywin Lannister. He doesn't have any of his vampire stuff on his face anymore. None of that heavy makeup. And he, like, gets up and walks after Dracula and says, "The game is on."
No, it's even worse. He goes, "Let the games begin."
That's right. It's "Let the games begin."
Before we went into this movie, I was talking about how there are certain phrases and titles that if you are a writer, you should be assessed a financial penalty for using. That's on the list. If you end a fucking movie with "Let the games begin," like $5,000, you are fined by me. Give it to me.
All right. That's the end of the movie.
Oh.
Okay. High points of Dracula Untold.
It looks pretty good, I think.
It has high production values.
It looks decent. The action stuff is pretty fun.
It's well shot. It's pretty well lit.
Decent performances from the leads, I think.
The lead actor, who I think is in the Hobbit movies, but I haven't really seen in a whole lot else.
Are you thinking about Orlando Bloom?
I'm not thinking.
Bloom has been hitting the gym.
He's one of the cool dwarves from the Hobbit movies.
Sounds right.
But he is... Luke Evans, I think, is his name.
He has so little to work with, and he does
fairly well, and he's got the right look.
He does have the right look.
He looks like a guy who should be playing Dracula.
Yeah. The fight effects, I think, look pretty decent.
The fight scenes are very well done.
Yeah, I mean, they're very 300-y, but... I mean, if you're going to take one thing from 300, take that and leave the racism, maybe.
There's a lot of unnecessary slow motion.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, style, like, if they're stylish, the stuff with the bats, I think, is really well done.
The stuff with the bats is really cool. I think it could stand to be a little more Bayonetta.
But it never, like, at no point was I pulled out by the special effects. Like,
right.
I don't think the special effects are the best. at no point were they so distracting, I was like, ugh,
yeah,
these like, special effects.
Pretty decent. Good costumes. Like, you talked about how the Dracula with his red cape and his black armor actually looks really cool.
He looks like Dracula.
Yeah, I don't like it when he's walking around in his trench coat.
Yeah.
His frock coat, I think, is kind of weak, but in his cape, like, when he's scaling the mountain freehanded.
In his cape,
like, it's like, oh, yeah, red cape, black armor, Dracula. Got it.
Yeah. All right, low points of Dracula Untold.
The racism. The coded homophobia,
yeah.
I think.
The Dracula armor. The weird timeline.
The timeline stuff that makes no sense and serves to only fit this otherwise arbitrary rule about there being 3 days. Like, if you're going to do that, fine, but, like, you can't cram a war into 3 days.
And then also... The fact that you, like, they can't decide whether they want people to know vampire mythology or be totally unaware of it.
Yeah, there's only two people in this movie who should know about vampires based on what this movie tells us. And then when Mehmet knows about vampires at the end, like, where did he find that out? Did the monk go to him and be like, hey, Dracula's a fucking vampire? Because that would make sense.
Yeah.
If Brother Lucian did a 300... I wonder if that scene was in there and they cut it out because it's too much like 300.
Well, my question is, like, this movie's 92 minutes long.
Yeah.
We expected it to be longer.
2.5 hours.
Yeah. I wonder if it was just cut to the bone.
I feel like it was, because to be, like, I guess this should have been a high point. It wasn't boring.
There were
most parts.
In the first act, it started to drag a little.
There's a couple of slow parts, but like, it kind of gets to business.
It at no point was I like, this is interminable.
Yeah. I was just like, this is racist.
Yeah, it was more like, this is racist, that's a cool thing, but the guy behind us is way too excited about it.
Yeah, nobody has a character, except maybe Dracula.
As we said, every character who is not Dracula is a plot device.
Yeah. The
from the wife to the son to all the other Transylvanians,
even
to
Mehmet,
the bad guys, yeah, to the monk. Everybody's a plot device who is just there to move forward one thing in the story.
Yeah. The thing in the beginning that we liked about how there was a, or that I liked about how there's a missing battalion, is the last time there is thought put into the events of this story.
Yeah.
As good as the lead is, again, he's working with nothing.
It in every way fits that template of a superhero origin story, but it doesn't build any characters because none of these characters are going to persist, and they know this because they have to propel Dracula into the present.
Yeah.
So it's also, like, so no work is put into any of these characters.
Also, so the Vlad the Third stuff happens, but Dracula doesn't? Like Bram Stoker's Dracula? Dracula 1888 doesn't happen?
What I suspect is, since that character is named Mina, Bram Stoker's Dracula is supposed to happen in the present.
In the present. Yeah, present. And that is a weird trend for Dracula stuff, because that's, like, at the end of the reboot of Castlevania, Dracula's in modern times. And there's something else where Dracula, like, has an origin and then shows up in modern times, too, that I can't recall. But yeah, it's not a good movie. It is a much more enjoyable movie to talk about than it was to see.
It's better than I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
But it's, at best, mediocre.
It's not the movie I was afraid it was going to be, and it's certainly not the movie I hoped it was going to be.
We're verging into final thoughts here, yeah. So final thoughts.
My final thoughts, I'm just going to kick it over to our friend Andrew Ihla on Twitter. That's IHLA, who saw it on Thursday night, and he had the following to say. First of all, he says, fuck you, Dracula Untold, but it's as many U's as you can fit into a tweet. And then he says, if Dracula movies were a film class, Dracula Untold would be that one guy in film class who says Boondock Saints is his favorite movie. If Dracula Untold was a date, it'd say it was taking you to this great little Italian place, and suddenly you'd be at Olive Garden. If Dracula Untold was a place, it'd be a cart corral at a Walmart with a dead pigeon in it. If Dracula was a crime, it'd be taking off your pants in a Pizza Hut. That really sums it up. Andrew also said, Dracula Untold is racist, sexist, has no interest in storytelling history or Dracula, which I think is accurate.
All true, yeah.
And that it's trying very hard to be as by the numbers as possible, but it doesn't know how to count,
I feel
which
like,
I think is also accurate.
I feel like it's a movie that is clearly inspired by video games.
Yes.
I think it's a movie that is clearly inspired by 300, Which also has all those traits that Andrew was talking
which
about.
Which was also released by the same studio.
Yeah. There's so much stuff that doesn't pay off.
Yeah.
And that might be the most frustrating thing about it. I mean, well, the racism and the sexism is probably the most frustrating thing.
Yeah.
But
that Mrs. Dracula has so little to do.
Yeah.
That we don't even know her name, having just walked out of the theater.
And the fact that her main role is to be protected and then sacrificed.
All I remember about her name is that her name is a play on Mina.
Yeah.
Because it's like Mikana.
And even like the kid's name, it sounds like he's named maybe twice, and it sounds like Icarus.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's so many things that don't pay off in this movie. One thing we didn't mention is that during the ambush scene, Dracula kills a soldier and some blood splatters on some doves. And we see that sent back to Mehmet. And he kind of just looks at it. But then nothing happens with it.
Yeah.
Like, why is that there?
No idea. Like, there's so much that
like,
is introduced
what is the symbolism?
And never follow it up on.
What is the symbolism of that?
Well, that's what it's like when doves cry.
This may be a not the best complaint about an action movie, but everything's so surfacey.
It really, but not in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, everything's surfacey in Crank 2.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where, like, the genius of the Crank movies is that they are exactly what they say they are. The first movie is based on a guy who will die if he gets bored, so they had to make the most exciting movie they could. The second movie is about a guy who will die if he doesn't get shocked, so they make the most shocking movie they can. They show you a giant horse dick in Crank 2, and it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
This movie is just like, yeah, like Andrew says, it's by the numbers, but it's not sure what the numbers are.
Well, one of my low points, and I guess this can be a final thought, is that this movie should have decided what it wanted its Dracula to be.
Yeah.
Does it want him to be a superhero, or does it want him to be a monster?
Yeah, or does it want him to be an anti-hero? It vacillates between all these different ideas of what
this
Dracula
is,
should
this
be.
This is a Dracula who will go up to a bunch of people and say, like, hey, do you want vengeance? Turn them into vampires, create a vampire army, and then as soon as the vampire army do some vampire shit, he's like, oh, no, I didn't create a vampire army for this, and then he kills all the vampires.
Yeah, like, I mean, at that point in the story, the best ending would have been, like, he gets to Mehmet's tent, and Mehmet's like, oh, I killed your son, by the way, so fuck you, Dracula, and Dracula is just a monster from then on.
Yeah.
Dracula's starting to become Dracula because he has normal goals, like, becoming a vampire, I like that. But Dracula completing the transformation because he still has noble goals, there's, like, you have to have an arc. You have to give this character a tragic fall.
It's the Marvel movie flaw of, we gotta do this thing with him later.
Yeah.
And there's setup for that thing that's gotta happen with him later.
Yeah.
And because of that, you can't have a satisfactory complete arc.
Yeah, it's... And since only Dracula continues, they only bother to even try to give Dracula an arc.
Right.
I would say, like, I would not recommend it.
No.
Like, I mean, if it's, you know, if it's on TV one day and you're washing dishes and you need background noise, maybe. But, like, don't pay money.
I'll leave us with the words of the woman sitting beside us in the theater when Charles Dance showed up in the final scene and started following Dracula and said, what is it?
Let the games begin.
There's going to be another one. There's going to be another one.
Oh.
All right, everybody. That's it for this episode of Movie Fighters. I will do our wrap-up stuff back in the studio. But thanks for listening.
Yeah, this has been fun. I'm glad that we got together for this one.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Just wanted to remind all of you to go check out our website, which is moviefighterscast.com. Also, to be sure to check us out on iTunes. If you go to iTunes and you search for Movie Fighters, you will find the show. If you like the show, leave us a review on iTunes. We've got a handful, but we would like to have more reviews of Movie Fighters on iTunes. So go do that, if you please. Our theme song is by Michael Kill. Our website was designed by Sean Baugus. We will be back in 2 weeks with another spooky movie. Until then, thanks for listening. This has been a Kaleidos Media production.